With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
We're dead in our sins. How can we possibly be right with God? We can't be right on our own initiative. We can't be right in our man-made religions because our man-made religions come from our depravity. How can a man be right with God? How do you know how to be right with God? How do you know it's true to the point you are willing to die for that message of how a man or a woman can be right with God?
Welcome and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today, Harry brings us part one of the message, Sola Scriptura. Believers have historically upheld the Holy Scriptures as the very Word of God. The Westminster Larger Catechism affirms the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God, the only rule of faith and obedience. But the enemies of the gospel have long sought to undermine the reliability and trustworthiness of the Bible and challenge the Reformation doctrine of sola scriptura, scripture alone. What exactly does the doctrine of sola scriptura declare, and what are the ramifications for us today? If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're focusing on verses 14 through 16. Here again is Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part one of the message, Sola Scriptura.
Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. I'll read through the end of the chapter in your hearing God's Word. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent or complete and equipped for every good work. Then if you'll slip down to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. The grass withers, the flower fades, God's word abides forever. By his grace and mercy, may his word be preached for you. His name was William Tyndale. He was a colleague in the sense of a reformer alongside of Martin Luther. He took great pleasure, encouragement, instruction, and inspiration from Martin Luther, but perhaps he was most indebted for his calling, ministry, and grasp of the Reformation truths of reclaiming the gospel of saving grace in Christ and the vitality of the church. He was most indebted to a pre-reformer, a reformer who I call a pre-reformer, as do others, the leader of the Lollards. His name was John Wycliffe. John Wycliffe was committed his life to not only theological investigation, even under the threat of the church, but he also, of course, wanted to get the Bible translated into the language of the people. Thus, you have a ministry in our day and time called Wycliffe Bible Translators, following that calling that he had into the language, the common language of the people. Well, John Wycliffe died, and then the church decided to give a directive to burn everything that he ever wrote, to exhume his body, burn his bones, and scatter the ashes. But still, things had been copied, and they got around, and they came to William Tyndale almost 200 years later. And William Tyndale began to read them, and he began to have a burden that God's word would be in the language and available to everyone. The printing press became quite his instrument, and he was, of course, ministered in England, but soon Henry VIII began to track him down in order to take his life. He went to Europe. And in Europe, he began to travel around because now he not only had to escape Henry VIII, he had to escape Charles V. He benefited from the reformers such as Zwingli and Luther, and then on the cusp of Calvin's ministry. He was grateful for all of it, but it all came against him finally. And he was arrested, he was caught, he was brought to a stake, strangled into unconsciousness, to the verge of death as he was tied to the stake, and then the stake was set upon fire and he was burned to death. We are deeply grateful to John Fox, who was able to write his very last words. I believe they are extremely informative. What would be the last words that he would say? He had already called upon Christ. He had already preached Christ. What would be his last words, particularly in alignment with his calling to get God's word? He loved the statement of John Wycliffe that the word of God contained the essential center and substance of Christianity. Well, let me share with you his last words as we get to the end of our study this morning. You got your Bible in front of you in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I've turned there for a reason. Let me do it this way. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you a question. If I was to ask you, what is the flashpoint of the Reformation? What would you say it is? Now, there were many issues in the Reformation. Communion, the Lord's Supper. I want you to listen to Lady Jane Grey's defense of communion that cost her her head. That was a gigantic issue. What is the Lord's Supper? The church, the preaching ministry, the place of preaching. How many sacraments are there? Seven or two? There were many, many issues. Rescuing the church from corruption, rescuing the church from superstition and ritualism. We're all fully aware of that moment with Martin Luther and John Tetzel's selling of indulgences as he would play upon the emotions of people and tell them with his ditty, and when in the coffer a coin does ring, then another soul from purgatory will spring. And that certainly motivated Luther to go to the castle door of the church there in Wittenberg, the castle church door, nailed the 95 theses that sent the Reformation into the arenas of village and towns throughout Germany, Switzerland, France, England, there beginning in 1517, and just like kept moving and moving all the way up until the 1560s, costing the lives of thousands and thousands of martyrs and reformers who were true to the faith, even under the most ghastly deaths that I almost cannot describe to you in pulpit language on a Lord's Day morning. What was that flashpoint? Well, the flashpoint of the issue. Even the indulgences brought that flashpoint. Here it was. This was the issue. How can a man, male or female, how can a man be right with God? That statement most ably given to us and repeated in the book of Job. How can man be right with God? Why is that such a penetrating question? Because we need to be right with God, because we're wrong with God and everything's wrong with us. We're dead in our sins. How can we possibly be right with God? We can't be right on our own initiative. We can't be right in our man-made religions, because our man-made religions come from our depravity. How can a man be right with God? That was the driving question. And praise God, there was the recapturing of the apostolic message of the gospel. And at the same time, the recapturing of the apostolic vitality of his church. Superstition dismissed. Corruption began to be rooted out in the leadership of the church. All of that on the heels of what the gospel was doing. But I would suggest to you that one of the things that became clear, this always happens when you get in a battle. when you get in a battle, there's usually that framing issue. What is the gospel? How can a man be right with God? But in the battle, you begin to get to the root of the issue, the foundational issue. How do you know how to be right with God? How do you know it's true to the point you are willing to die for that message of how a man or a woman can be right with God? Well, that began to be clarified and predominantly manifested at the moment when Luther at the Diet of Worms said this, "Here I stand." Where did he stand? "Unless I am convinced by reason or scripture. Here I stand. I praise God for sola fide. We're saved by faith alone. I praise God for sola gratia. We're saved by grace alone through faith alone. I praise God for sola Christus. We're saved by grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone. I praise God for the recapturing of the only thing that makes sense in this world. It is not man's personal carnal happiness. It is the glory of God. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the supremacy and majesty of the glory of God alone, and our joy in Him forever. Praise God for that. But what became abundantly clear was the foundational issue, the scripture, not the scripture in the church, not the scripture in imagination, not the scripture in man's philosophy. The scripture alone is our only rule of faith and practice. And our ability, being made in the image of God, to reason is not what we do to get to the scriptures, it's what we do from the scriptures. We are not saved by acknowledging the scripture through illumination and Christ. We are saved through Christ by divine revelation from which we reason to Christ. We are people of the book, and the book is truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. We are people who have been brought from sin's dominion to Christ by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God always works with the Word of God. My friends, you need an open heart. You need an open eyes. You need an open mind. But just like on the disciples on the road to Emmaus, no preacher has the ability to open your mind and open your eyes and open your heart. But we can open the scriptures. And that's what Jesus used to open their minds and their hearts and their eyes. The Spirit of God always works with the Word of God. You can have the Word of God and not have the Spirit of God, but you can't have the work of the Spirit of God without the Word of God. Here's what Jesus said, "Put no confidence in the flesh. It is the Spirit who gives life. My words are spirit and life." We can pray for the Spirit. We can surrender to the Spirit. We can seek to walk in the Spirit, but we cannot direct the Spirit. God sovereignly moves in His Spirit, but here's what I do know: when he moves with the Word. So Spirit of God, let me be in your Word. Let me proclaim your Word. Let your Word be in me, because that's what the Spirit of God will use in me. That's why Paul, under a death sentence, writing the last epistle of his 13 included in your holy canon, writes to, he's got all of his disciples. He's spent with Titus. He's got Luke. He's had all of these men that he has invested in and leading women. But now he turns to his most trusted, the man he's putting his mantle upon. And he says to Timothy, "You, my son, continue in the things you have learned, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Continue in the things you are firmly convinced of." So my question, this Bible that gives you the gospel message and the whole counsel of God as to how to love him with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. This Bible, let me ask you, I must ask you, are you firmly convinced? Here I stand. It may cost me my job. It may cost me stature in the neighborhood, the civic society. Here I stand. I have learned from it how to be right with God. Not only do I stand here, but I don't stand still here. Continue to learn. Continue in those things you have learned. Notice, he doesn't say, "For be firmly convinced of me." Paul's about to leave. Timothy, your confidence and faith is not in me. Your confidence and faith is in the Christ that is revealed in the Word of God. There's where your faith rests. There is the solid rock upon which you build. And you continue to build. Continue in the things you have learned. Knowing, see, he's a learner, but he hasn't quit learning. Continue in the things you have learned. Knowing from whom you've learned them. God used people. He's used your mother. He used your grandmother. He's used me. He's used people in your life. He'll continue to use preachers in your life. And he's going to make you a preacher of this. But you continue in the things you have learned, knowing from whom you have learned them. Because you can't get this gospel without the Bible. Continue in the things you have learned, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the scriptures which are able to give you the wisdom. You don't get the wisdom over anywhere else. You don't get the wisdom in our technology books. You don't get the wisdom from the philosophies of this age. You get the wisdom for salvation from the word that you have learned and in which you continue to learn. And then he says, now let me tell you about that word. All scripture, every single piece of it, every text, all scripture is God-breathed. You know, I was sitting there trying to imagine what it was like that Paul is writing this. And he says, now I got to tell him, you're learning the Bible that is sufficient to give you the message and you keep learning it. Now, what do I want to tell you about this Bible? I want you to understand this Bible. So he says, I'm going to give you, number one, I'm going to give you the origin of the Bible. How am I going to do it? Peter had been faced with something similar. So what Peter did in 1 Peter, what Peter says is this, is that the Holy Spirit carried holy men along. Holy men carried along by the Holy Spirit. And what Peter did is he reached for a noun. It was what we would translate that noun, fairy. And he turns it into a verb. The Holy Spirit ferried men along to the truth. Paul's faced with the same thing. What will he do? So he creates a word out of two words. And this is the only time you find it in your Bible. The concept's all over your Bible, but this is the only time you find it in your Bible. Theo, neustos. Theo, God. Neustos, pneumatic, pneumonia, breath, wind, spirit. All, every scripture is God-breathed. We're coming up on our Advent season and our four Advent Sundays, and we got all kinds of outreach things. Please take advantage of it to get people that don't know Jesus. Yes, bring Christians, but get people that don't know Jesus to come. One of them, my favorite, of course, was the walk through Nativity. I love that one. I get to stand out in the cold for about 3 hours and shake 4,000 hands. What a glorious moment. And it's almost always cold. Well, it ought to be. It's Christmas. I was beginning to wonder. Well, we just kind of skipped. We went from 100 degrees to 50 degrees. That's wonderful Alabama weather. And here we are, and I love it. I'm grateful for a little season of cold weather. It just takes me back to my childhood. You go outside on a cold winter night, and you breathe. And what would come next? Mommy, look, I can see my breath. That was the way to say, winter has come. Look, I can see my breath. so excited. Look, you can see his breath. Are you excited? Or do you just kind of fit it in when you can? Or when it's convenient? This is God speaking. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Here is his word. It's come from him. It commands my affection, my attendance, my allegiance. In it and it alone can I infallibly, inerrantly know him. So what about that Bible? He not only gives you the origin of the Bible, he then says to Timothy, let me tell you, this Bible you're learning and you're proclaiming and you're preaching, let me tell you something about it. It not only came from God, all scripture came from God, it's the breath of God for you, but let me tell you something else. Everything in it's profitable. Yeah, I read, just to let you know, this has something to do with my personality. When I read six books at a time in different categories. And one of those is just kind of my fun reading in history and biographies. And I've just been doing the book, Three Roads to the Alamo. I've always wanted to study that, so I've been reading that. And it's a great book. This is a world-renowned historian that wrote it, and it's written well. But they're just things that I just started skipping through. There's nothing I ought to skip through here. Even the genealogies. Every scripture is profitable. Now, some of it's more profitable than others. Some things are of first importance, some things are of second importance. But everything is profitable in this Bible. What is it profitable for? So he goes from the origin of the Bible to the nature of the Bible, profitable, and then he says this, let me give you the design of the Bible. It is profitable for teaching. Folks, never let come from your mouth, I don't want doctrine, I just want life. You can't have life for Christ without doctrine. Now, you can have doctrine and not have life, but you can't have life without doctrine. The Bible was meant to be taught. It is the teaching of the Word of God. And so that he says it's profitable, everything in it's profitable for teaching, for doctrine. Then when the doctrine comes to me, now it's time to live it. You see, the burden of every preacher when he's preaching is not that you walk away with another folder in your file cabinet for theological knowledge, but that you walk away with the doctrine and how it changes your life. How it first reproves you. Why does it reprove? Why is it negative? Because you and I don't start off in neutral. We're sinners. So when the scripture comes, what do? Repent. We're reproved. What do? You can't put on till you put off. So we reprove. Then, he says, then you get to correction. Now you're ready to put on. Don't try to correct until you reprove. Don't try to obey until you repent. So you repent, then you embrace in a new life and a new obedience. And what is the result? Training. Literally, you get gymnasium, spiritual gymnasium work. You get gymnazoed. You get trained up is what you do. It starts building those spiritual sinews and muscles. It starts building you up. You get trained in personal righteousness. This is not the righteousness that saves you. That righteousness comes from Jesus and is given to you and is perfect. This is the righteousness that you're now giving back to Jesus in lifetime stewardship, even what we're looking at in our every member commitment. How do I give my whole life? How do I train up my life so that I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind, and my neighbor as myself? And so you are getting built up in that training in righteousness. Here's the origin. Here's the nature. Here's the design. Finally, here's the result. That the man of God may be adequate and equipped. For what? So it's not only inspired, it's not only inerrant, it's not only infallible, it is sufficient for all of life in Christ and for Christ. That I may be complete for every good work. And then he says to Timothy, that word, preach it. God gave us His Word to be read, but He designed His Word to be preached. Do you want to be saved by grace alone through faith alone? Amen belongs there. Okay, 8 of you want to be saved. You want to be saved by grace alone through faith alone?
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing the preaching of the Word.
Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, is the key doctrine of the Protestant Reformation and the evangelical faith. The Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the Word of God, our only rule of faith, practice, and obedience. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's M Perspective was taken, write and request Sola Scriptura, or simply ask for message number 15128. Again, that's message number 15128. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD when you request today's message. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email inperspective@briarwood.org. In the world, the workplace, and even in the church, there is an obvious lack of biblical, godly, dynamic leadership. Dr. Harry Reeder's 3D Leadership is devoted to equipping the church and believers to multiply and mobilize leaders in all walks of life. This expanded, revised, and reformatted publication of the leadership dynamic includes discussion questions at the end of each chapter. It is a great resource for your personal development, group Bible study, or for church officer and leadership training. The suggested retail price is $14.99, but now, through the Briarwood online bookstore, you can order it for just $12. 3D Leadership, defining, developing, and deploying Christian leaders who can change the world. To order your copy, go to briarwood.org/3D. That's briarwood.org/3D. We do hope Harry's teaching on In Perspective is being used to strengthen your walk in Christ and your understanding of God's Word. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. The app is yours free of charge. Harry would love to hear back from you. Write In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.